business news. They eat trees. Beavers are stupid.
This is the Bloomberg Market Minute on 700 WLW.
All right, starring Jeff Bellinger. And Jeff, we have surging mortgage interest rates, and that would tend to cool down the loan business, mortgage business.
Yes, and we have numbers that point to that. A gauge of home loan demand has fallen to the lowest level since 2018. Mortgage bankers report there were big declines last week in requests for new home loans and in requests from the homeowners who were looking to refinance. Overall, application volume was down more than 8% last week.
All right. A hiring slowdown at some Apple stores. They apparently one of the few places with enough people then.
Apparently, a pace of hiring at some stores, though, is reportedly slowed. The sources tell Bloomberg that Apple is bringing in fewer new hires for Genius technical support jobs in certain locations. Apple is said to have informed some stores that vacant Genius positions will not be filled. The sources say verbal offers to some applicants were retracted. Now, Apple has not had any mass layoffs, nor is there a widespread hiring freeze, according to the sources.
All right, then Elon Musk can tweet about his Twitter deal, but he has to mind his manners.
Yes, he does. If he doesn't have anything nice to tweet about Twitter, then he won't be able to tweet it at all. A securities filing regarding Musk's agreement to buy Twitter shows that Musk is not allowed to post anything about the deal that disparages the company or any of its representatives. While he is waiting for the deal to close, Musk can still discuss the deal, but he has to be nice.
And then it's open season once the deal is closed.
Apparently.
All right, so futures are.
All right, they're pointing higher this morning. S&P futures up 24 points. The NASDAQ futures are up 59. And the Dow futures are up 270. From Bloomberg, I'm Jeff Bellinger on News Radio 700 WLW.
All righty, it's 811 700 WLW. Ain't got no guess right now. Might talk to Jim Ryan from ABC in a little bit, as we did apparently agree to a prisoner swap with the Ruskies. And they've been holding a Trevor Reed. He was an American Marine veteran, arrested back in 2019 in Russia, sentenced to 9 years. They said he assaulted a police officer over there. And people are saying they're trumped up charges, so it's been being worked on for some time. Just odd that right now is a time that this would come together. But Trevor Reed is being traded for a Russian drug trafficker. So he gets to come home, and the Russian drug trafficker gets to go back to Russia. And I guess if there's any more to it, Jim Ryan will have the tales. If we talk to him in a bit, we'll find out. So congratulations. That's good news. We like good news from time to time. I have a lot of odds and ends I want to get to. Some of these are mini topic worthy and some are not, but kind of caught my eye here. What would you believe would be the most popular casual dining restaurant in Ohio? Well, this top agency, an analytics agency tracking U.S. consumer spending, analyzed the spending habits of 12 million Americans to see how states bounce back from COVID-related dips in dining out. And who had the most visits? And the most visited casual dining restaurant in Ohio is Bob Evans, number one. Number two is Texas Roadhouse. And maybe I've been there once. There's just not one near me. I don't remember whether it was great or if it was bad, I'd remember that. So I guess it was okay to good. Buffalo Wild Wings is number three. Applebee's is number four. And Olive Garden is number five. I'm not sure how many other casual restaurants there are that didn't make the list, but those are your top five anyway. And my favorite sheriff of the year so far is in the panhandle of Florida. Santa Rosa County Sheriff Bob Johnson made the announcement at a press conference that local residents are more than welcome to shoot burglars, and he wishes they would. This happened in the case of an arrest of a 32-year-old, Brandon Joseph Harris, accused of committing a series of break-ins in the city of Pace. This was last week. According to the Pensacola News Journal, authorities first alerted to a suspicious person at 4:30 in the afternoon. Cops got there in about 20 minutes. This guy took off, attempting to evade authorities, jumping fences, breaking into homes. At around 5:12, they got a call that shots were fired somewhere. So one of the homeowners, as he was trying to break into their house, shot at him. Then he continued to run. He said, we finally cornered him in a house, and it's in a bedroom of a house where he tried to jump out the window, but we were waiting for him. So the sheriff goes on to say, we don't know which homeowner shot at him. They probably think they did something wrong, which they did not. If somebody's breaking into your house, you're more than welcome to shoot them in Santa Rosa County. We prefer that you do, actually. Said, whoever that was, you're not in trouble. Come see us. We have a gun safety class we put on every other Saturday, and if you take that, you'll shoot a lot better and hopefully save the taxpayers money. This guy Harris has been arrested 17 times since the age of 13. Sheriff said, we sent him to prison for 6.5 years for a home invasion. He just can't seem to get the picture that crime does not pay. Some people just don't learn. For us, he's our job security. We deal with him all the time. Hopefully this time he'll go and he won't get out. Charged with attempted burglary, assault, resisting arrest, burglary of an occupied dwelling, criminal mischief, attempted larceny, burglary of an unoccupied dwelling, according to Johnson. Bond set $157,000. They don't goof around with that in Florida. But I love that. Whoever it was, you're not in trouble. Come see us. We have a gun safety class we put on every other Saturday. If you take that, you'll shoot a whole lot better and hopefully save the taxpayers' money. He's good. And who's my other sheriff down there? He's got a real southern sounding name, but it's not going to come. It's in Polk County, Florida. And the point he makes all the time is if you point a gun at his sheriff's deputies, we'll shoot you a lot. And he makes that point quite often. We will shoot you a lot. And my guess is the crime is rather low down there. The crime rate is rather low down there, I would think. And where was my other one? The lack of people who want to be refs. I've tried to get to this a few times each of the last couple of days and never did work it in. But the number of people who have quit the refereeing or umpiring business because of the abuse they take from people in the stands, usually parents, has finally gotten to the point where it's hard to find the refs and it's hard to find the umps. They don't want to do it anymore. We're facing a crisis, they say, in prep and youth sports in particular. Fewer and fewer people will take on the thankless job of officiating games. They said they're sick of it. There's a story of this one lady, and I heard it yesterday. ABC had the story where she was punched in the face by a mother based on a call she made at second base. And she was only umping because they couldn't find anybody else to work. It was a girls' softball game, rarely works the field, they said, but stepped in, picked up $40 for the game because, you know, the ump was ill. Called a runner safe at second. A parent watching the game thought the runner was out, screamed profanities, said, accused me of cheating the kids. So she threw her out, but as the game ended and she's leaving, the lady assaults her, punches her in the face. I was reading, in Tennessee, they have to start a thing where they want half the high schools to play football on Thursday, the other half on Friday. They don't have enough refs for everyone to play football on the same night. Let's see. Michigan, similar issue. A couple of years ago, before the pandemic started, they had roughly 13,000 registered high school officials. It's now 8,900. 13,000 to 8,900. And yeah, Tennessee High School Association requests all members to play at least one football game on a Thursday night to help alleviate the shortage of referees. The same crew would then call games on back-to-back nights. You know, and I saw, you know, flickers of this when my daughter was in high school. Just, it's always one or two parents in the stands. And I don't know what the answer is. It's one thing, I mean, just the verbal abuse is bad enough, but this whole idea of people getting physical with the refs, that's something you go to jail over. But the verbal abuse would be enough for me to, I mean, I coached like little girls softball when my daughter was little, and I always thought if some parent thought they could do a better job, if I ever got flack from a parent for something I did as a coach, I was going to hand them the clipboard right then and there, tell them what time the practices are, and I would go home. That's how I would handle it. Now, an ump can't do that. A coach can do that, but an ump cannot. But, yeah, Major League Baseball umpires, this ump that got punched in the face, they actually brought her to a Braves game. They have a group called Umps Care Charities. Got it to the game last Friday in Atlanta between the Braves and the Marlins. And just to do something to kind of help smooth things over. But, yeah, the Major League, they know this is a problem across the board. The only thing I think you can really do is force a team to forfeit. I mean, if somebody is, and not, if it gets, if you respond in the moment of the play that you disagree with, that's fine. If you start haranguing after that, because they're not going to change the call has been made, safer out, and it's done. If you didn't like the out or the safe, they're not going to change it for you. So if you start badgering the ump, your team forfeits. And this will at least get the other people on, the other parents on your team to police you. To me, it's the only thing that's going to stop this nonsense. You know, and if you nip the verbal in the bud, you'll probably nip the physical in the bud too. Your thoughts perhaps after a break. But we have to do that, and Chuck has to do the traffic, and he knows also. Let's do that. Chuck, what's up?
From the UC Health Traffic Center, UC Health Daniel Drake Center offering advanced personalized care and rehabilitation after a hospital stay or procedure. I think there's two separate accidents on northbound 471. Reason being, I'm seeing some very heavy traffic backing up from Southgate onto 275. Then there's another wreck that is at Grand that has the left lane blocked off. Southbound 75, that's a slow go through Lachlan. Northbound 75 continues heavy from before Buttermilk into the cut in the hill. I'm also just getting reports of an accident on Montgomery at Park Avenue. Chuck Ingram, News Radio 700 WLW.
All right, we have a frost advisory, which goes for another half hour or so. We'll have sunshine topping out at 60 today. Overnight, partly cloudy, it's 40. A mix of sun and clouds tomorrow. We'll get to 61. It won't be too bad. Temp right now is kind of coolish. It is 40. Police have a point to make about the ranking of Cincinnati as the city with the highest homicide rate in the first quarter of this year. The Wallet Hub study had us at 12.2 homicides per 100,000, which would be the most. Cops say, wait a minute. Cincinnati had 20 homicides between January and March of this year. A population of 311,000. Works out to 6.4 homicides per 100,000, not 12.2. That is a huge difference. Not sure how Wallet Hub came up with their number, but I think the Cincinnati police should know best as to what the rate is, and we're nowhere near leading the country. So we'll see if Wallet Hub has a response or not. Right now it's 8:30, makes it news time, and we are News Radio 700 WLW.
News, traffic, and weather. News Radio 700 WLW, Cincinnati.
The cost will be more to upkeep than it was to build it. With the 8:30 report, I'm Rick Uccino. Breaking now, it's got good bones. That's the overall assessment from Demetra Thornton. She works for the firm hired to assess Paul Brown Stadium and give recommendations on how to best maintain it through the next lease. Overall, the foundation, roofing, structure of the facility, all in good shape. The cost for upkeep over the next 20 years is high, but just a drop in the bucket compared to other facilities in NFL cities.
We're seeing in the industry is people are getting new buildings. We don't feel that that's necessary here. This is a fraction of that cost, right? Over 20 years, we're talking under $500 million, where we're looking at other facilities that are spending $1.2 to $2 billion for a new facility.
Thornton's presentation to Hamilton County Commissioners yesterday, just the initial findings. A full master plan will be done by the end of the year. That may or may not include some wants on the Bengals' wish list that could bring up the price a bit more. One of the concerns of County Commissioner Alicia Reese is making sure that Paul Brown Stadium as well as Great American Ballpark are generating as much revenue as possible.
We need to be making more money off of the stadiums, not just this stadium, than we're making. The stadiums are sitting dark too long and not bringing in the dollars. Now, in the original lease, which I have here, we were supposed to hire somebody to bring in concerts. And I know we bring in McGraw. And I would tell the administrator, I need more McGraws coming.
Reese wants an assessment done over the next 30 days so someone can be hired to bring more events to the Queen City. She will be Scott Sloan's guest coming up at 9:06 this morning. Let's check the latest traffic and weather together.
From the UC Health Traffic Center, UC Health's Daniel Drake Center, offering advanced personalized care and rehabilitation after a hospital stay or procedure. Northbound 471 continues to struggle. There's a couple of accidents. One after you come out of Southgate. That traffic's starting to move past that wreck at a better pace, but you still have the wreck at Grand that blocks the left lane. Traffic backs on to 275. Northbound 75 continues to run an extra 15 minutes into downtown, and southbound 75 closer to a 10-minute delay out of Evendale into the Lachlan Split. There's a wreck in Silverton on Montgomery at Park Avenue. Chuck Ingram, News Radio 700 WLW.
Now the latest forecast from the Train Heating and Cooling Weather Center on News Radio 700 WLW.
The sky is clear and it's cold out there this morning with temperatures in the mid to upper 30s. But we will see sunshine throughout the day, highs near the 60-degree mark. And while it is below average, still a pretty nice day. Tonight, 39 for a low as clouds start to increase. We might see a little patchy frost to the north tonight. But then for Thursday's forecast, clouds increasing and your high ends up at 61. From your severe weather station, I'm 9 First Warning meteorologist Jennifer Ketchmark, News Radio 700 WLW.
40 degrees right now. A Cincinnati police officer taken to the hospital this morning after being injured in a crash in Evanston. Officer's cruiser colliding with another vehicle on Dana Avenue ended up hitting a tree. The officer trapped inside ended up being rescued by Cincinnati firefighters. He was admitted listed in stable condition. Meantime, a white Nissan involved in that accident took off from the scene. A new survey shows that it is getting even harder for many Americans to achieve a living wage.
The latest county health rankings show a stark picture of the haves and the have-nots. Women, particularly those of color, earn 80 cents or less on average for every dollar men earn. Childcare, a necessity in many working families, is becoming a luxury fewer can afford. The average family with two children spends at least a quarter of their income on it. It also finds a growing number of public schools where the children of lower and middle income families are often educated are underfunded. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
As part of their 50th anniversary season, Kings Island planning for several live concerts at Timberwolf Amphitheater. Park announcing a lineup that includes the Avett Brothers, Flock of Seagulls, Three Doors Down, and Five for Fighting. Tickets go on sale this Friday, same day as the park's 50th birthday celebration. The Reds last night killed by one inning. The Padres explode for 8 runs in the fourth and route to a 9-6 win. Same two teams again tonight at Great American Ballpark. Our pregame coverage gets underway at 5:40 right here on the home of the Reds. Our next update at 9 o'clock. I'm Rick Uccino, News Radio 700 WLW.
This report is sponsored by Ohio 811.
Contact 811 at least 48 hours before you dig, and ohio811.org will notify the utilities to mark underground lines. It's the smart, easy, and
market minute on 700 WLW.
Right there, Jeff. They believe the on-demand video market may have pretty much reached the saturation point.
Yeah, it kind of looks that way, and enough may be enough. Market researchers at Kantar say American households have stopped adding services. On average, each household had nearly 5 on-demand services last quarter. The number has leveled off after nearly 2 years of steady increases as new services were launched. Just last week, we heard that Netflix lost subscribers for the first time in years. It was also announced that the new CNN Plus streaming service is being shut down.
How about that? And, Boeing with a big loss.
Yeah, nearly $1.25 billion in the first quarter. That was bigger loss than Wall Street was expecting. Boeing civilian airplane and defense businesses were both in the red, but CEO David Calhoun says the company is on track to generate positive cash flow for the year. The company has increased 737 MAX production, and it has submitted plans to resume 787 deliveries.
All right, let's get our futures in here if we can.
All right, yeah, they're pointing higher. S&P futures are up 18. NASDAQ futures up 36, and the Dow futures are up 228. From Bloomberg, I'm Jeff Bellinger on News Radio 700 WLW.
All right, I have ABC's Jim Ryan standing by. News of a prisoner swap between the U.S. and Russia, which seems like an odd point in time for this to happen, but it's good news anyway. Jim Ryan, welcome back, and it's Trevor Reed who's been freed, correct?
Yes, exactly. You're right. I think the timing of this thing is remarkable. It would be kind of remarkable and be amazing during peacetime or at a time of good relations between the United States and Russia. But it happens at at some of the deepest low points in the relationship between the two countries in the last few decades. But indeed, there was a prisoner swap this morning. Trevor Reed, the former Marine from here in Texas, he was arrested in 2019 after the Russian authorities accused him of assaulting a police officer. Now, on this end of the ocean, Konstantin Yaroshenko is a Russian pilot who is serving a 20-year federal prison sentence in Connecticut on a conviction of conspiracy to smuggle cocaine into the U.S. Well, those two this morning were exchanged on the tarmac, the airport tarmac, in Ankara, Turkey. So that has happened now. Reed is set to be on his way back to the United States now.
Well, the Russian, it doesn't seem like that would be a top priority for the Russian government to get a drug dealer back unless there's something more to the guy than we know. I don't know.
Well, you're right. It's an interesting swap here, and they've been trying for some time to get him out of the prison here in the United States, and so they got their wish for whatever Konstantin Yaroshenko is worth, but the U.S. also gets back Trevor Reed, and the Biden administration, of course, met with Reed's parents a few weeks ago. He said he was doing what he could to try to get him back, and this morning we've learned that, in fact, this prisoner swap did happen.
Yeah, Trevor Reed, first, he was in the Marines, and then post-Marine, he went to college, and I guess he was going to pick up Russian as his language elective, as his girlfriend was Russian. So he was over there, I guess, mainly for the purpose of studying, correct?
Yes, right. His military career, he had finished that up, retired from the Marines, and was just living in Moscow and doing what he could there. And you're right, he has a Russian girlfriend, Lena, and was there in Russia. And at some point, he was arrested, 2019, and was accused of drunkenly assaulting a police officer. The United States, by the way, says that charge was completely trumped up, Mike, and that there was no truth to it at all. Hmm. But we know that Trevor Reed's health has been failing. He's got signs of tuberculosis and some other health issues, and his parents were extremely concerned that he wasn't going to make it out of Russia alive.
I guess he was refusing to the, I don't know if he's in a labor camp type situation, but he was refusing to do the work they wanted him to do in prison. And I guess that impacted his treatment, I would assume.
Potentially, yeah. And he also was staging a hunger strike more recently than that, and that may have impacted his health, too. And, you know, the concern may have been on the part of the Russians that if he died there in prison, that, first of all, they wouldn't have any sort of leverage in trying to get Yaroshenko back. And second, it would be a PR nightmare on top of the PR nightmare of invading Ukraine.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, at least some good news coming out of that part of the world for a change. And we wish him the best of health when he gets home. Jim Ryan, I appreciate your time here, especially on short notice. And have a good day.
Thanks, Wayne.
You bet. Adios. Coming up on 844. 844. 700 WLW. Might as well get Chuck's traffic in here. Best we possibly can. Something I was going to ask you. I mean, you might not know this answer, but I saw that they have. You are there, aren't you?
I am with you. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, that's what. That Timberwolf has concerts
again. Yeah. Again.
Is it the same place?
Yes, it is.
Has it been there all this time? I thought they dug that up.
No, it has been there the whole time. They used it for a lot of storage. I saw some pictures of things on the stage for a while, but. What's really funny is that a couple of the bands they're bringing back this year, I worked for them in the early 80s.
Yeah, I saw like Flock of Seagulls or somebody. Right. I'm like, when's the last time?
That was one of them. Berlin was the other one that I worked follow spot for.
Wow. There's a little flock music for us.
And there you go.
And this is going to satiate me just fine. Now I don't have to go. I did see Eric Clapton there.
You did?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That Timberwolf. What year? It was in the 80s. I couldn't tell you what year.
I'm going to go out and have some cake there on Friday.
Yeah.
To celebrate the big 50th.
That's right. So are you like a member of the Hall of Fame?
I am a member of the Employee Hall of Fame.
How about that?
Yes, sir.
Well, you deserve every bit of it.
Thanks. Those were some pretty cool years.
Yeah, I'll bet. Good times.
Good times.
All right, what is traffic doing as of now?
From the UC Health Traffic Center, UC Health's Daniel Drake Center, offering advanced personalized care and rehabilitation after a hospital stay or procedure. Getting reports of an accident on southbound 75's ramp to westbound 275 in Sharonville. traffic a bit heavy there, then slow again as you make your way in and out of Lachlan. Northbound 471's been struggling with a couple of wrecks. There's one near Southgate, and then the second at Grand has the left lane blocked. Traffic backs to 275. Chuck Ingram, News Radio 700 WLW.
9 first warning weather. We have a frost advisory. It's due to wrap up 9 a.m., so not sure if anybody got any frost, but we did get down to 38 eventually here in Kenwood. So the sun's out, be out all day long, and we will top out at 60 degrees. Overnight, it's partly cloudy. We're down to 40. Then a mix of sun and clouds tomorrow, 61. As we get to the weekend, could pick up some chances of rain, but it's not going to be, you know, a washout sort of a thing, just widely scattered showers. As of now, and the temp is somewhere 41 is what we got. 700 WLW.
This report is sponsored by Miami Valley Gaming.
Mark your calendar for April 30th at Miami Valley Gaming.
All right, about 6 away from 9 o'clock, Sloan's in, top of the hour. Alicia Reese will join him. She likes the idea of putting a roof on Paul Brown Stadium. No. But number one, it doesn't add that much more room to do anything. You know, people think it, like sometimes a football stadium attached to a convention center, because that when you have all that space. Apparently, those in the convention business would say, and this is I've read this when other stadiums were going up, it doesn't give you that much more room. A football field is not as big as you think. A stadium is huge. The field doesn't give you that much more exhibition space or whatever it is you're looking to do. Concerts, there aren't that many acts touring that you can put 60,000 people in a stadium to watch. I mean, if the idea is to use it many, many more times a year, I would love to have that place being used, you know, twice a week all year. I'd love that. But there aren't that many other uses for it. You don't make that much more display space or whatever if you're trying to use it for conventions. So I was talking about parents who can't behave at ball games. Coaches sometimes aren't any better. A youth football coach in Philadelphia shot a rival coach in the stands of the field on Friday where kids were practicing. I'm gathering this was a coach who showed up to watch his opponent's team practice. Video footage captured on cell phone shows two men appearing to argue before the group begins to disperse. The gunman appeared to turn around and was walking away when he turns and opens fire, striking one of the men he was arguing with. A group of 7-year-olds were practicing on the field when it unfolded. They're coaching 7-year-olds. Now, the one coach is trying to get the scoop on the 7-year-olds, and the other one is trying to defend whatever the secrets are of the 7-year-olds, and it ended up in a shooting. So it's not just the parents, you know, sometimes it is the coach. And our friends at Amazon have an issue. There's a book out there. It's a children's book that's selling pretty well called Johnny the Walrus. And Johnny the Walrus, it's about a little boy with a big imagination. He pretends to be, on one day, a scary dinosaur. Another day, he's a knight in shining armor. Another day, he's a walrus. And finally, he is told that it's time to make up his mind, make a decision between what he wants to pretend to be. And he's not allowed to change his mind. And the idea here is, this is pointing out what people might put a young kid through who might believe he's trans. At some point, you got to make up your mind because you're getting puberty blockers, things of this nature. Well, I guess it's selling pretty well, Johnny the Walrus. And the people who work at Amazon don't like the fact that people are buying Johnny the Walrus. And Amazon leaders actually held a session for employees dealing with the trauma of having to pack and ship the book, Johnny the Walrus. I'm not making that up. This is somebody who works there, and the point he had to make about Amazonian transgenders. Not kidding. Hit it, Danny.
Recommendations that this customer received and that other customers frequently reach out to us about that they're receiving. It's about a book called Johnny the Walrus. And I want to be very clear, the next two are about books. And I saw someone say, oh joy, we're going to talk about one of them, because it's been a very traumatic experience for transgender Amazonians and our transgender customers. What I don't want to come out of this is slamming the books team with a bunch of tickets. They are already aware of this. There are things in the space that are happening.
You get the idea. The problem is traumatic. There is actual trauma among people who work there and the customers who are transgender because they're selling the book, Johnny the Walrus. You know, people try to make the point that a lot of this has to do with mental instability. And some people seem to go out of their way to prove their opponents right by being mentally unstable when it comes to things like this. Try to avoid that at all costs. And along the same lines, I don't really have time to get into all this, but some reviews of The Northman, which is it's film, it's in theaters now. It's about the 10th century Vikings. And I might save this for tomorrow, but a fair number of people believe it's just too manly. Someone wrote, and this is a critique of the movie, men do the ruling and the killing, women do the scheming and the baby making. As though perhaps men should be doing the baby making as some people pretend they can actually do. I don't know. But it's pointing out the reality of what the life of a Viking was like. Not what somebody today wishes it had been like. And they believe it's too stereotypical. Well, reality is stereotypical. It is. It's kind of structured that way. Anyway, my time's up. I got to go. You got Sloan standing by, and he will join you with Alicia Reese following news, and I'll talk to you bright and early in the morning. News time, 700 WLW in 1 minute.
Hey, don't go through another summer with your awful joint pain. Call QC Kinetics now. Eddie here.